And I'm very, very happy to have David Catchpole sitting next to me, and I shall budge over when it's his turn to speak.
Glad to be
And Anne
here.
is here joining in with us. So lovely to have you both with us this morning. So this is the second Sunday in Lent. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognize his presence with us. As God's people, we have gathered. Let us worship him together. All-powerful God of past, present, and future, keeper of promises, how we love you. Son of man, the way, the truth, and the life, loving despite rejection, how we love you. Holy Spirit, living power within, helping, guiding, testing, and transforming, how we love you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your unique relationship open to us, how we love you. Amen. Blessed be God forever. We come to God as one from whom no secrets are hidden, to ask for his forgiveness and peace. And so this is the song of penitence from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness, according to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my offences. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my faults, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and righteous in your judgment. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me again the joy of your salvation and sustain me with your gracious spirit. Then shall I teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners shall return to you. Deliver me from my guilt, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring you his pardon and peace now and forever. Amen. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 22, beginning at verse 23. Do please join me with the refrain. Be not far from me, O Lord. I will declare your name to my people in the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. Be not far from me, O Lord. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Be not far from me, O Lord. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And our first reading from the Old Testament is from Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our canticle this morning is the Song of Manasseh. And say together, "Full of compassion and mercy and love is God, the Most High, the Almighty. God Almighty and God of our ancestors, you who made heaven and earth in all their glory, all things tremble with awe at your presence, before your great and mighty power. Immeasurable and unsearchable is your promised mercy, for you are God Most High. You are full of compassion, long-suffering and very merciful, and you relent at human suffering. Full of compassion and mercy and love is God, the Most High, the Almighty. O God, according to your great goodness, you have promised forgiveness for repentance to those who have sinned against you. The sins I have committed against you are more in number than the sands of the sea. I am not worthy to look up to the height of heaven because of the multitude of my iniquities. Full of compassion and mercy and love is God, the Most High, the Almighty. And now I bend the knee of my heart before you, imploring your kindness upon me. I have sinned, O God, I have sinned, and I acknowledge my transgressions. Unworthy as I am, you will save me, according to your great mercy. For all the host of heaven sings your praise, and your glory is forever and ever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Full of compassion and mercy and love is God, the Most High, the Almighty.
Second reading from the New Testament is from Mark chapter 8. Jesus predicts his death. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Don't you just love Peter? Honest, earnest, bumbling Peter. Peter who opens his mouth and just lets the words tumble out, however foolish they are. Oh, in case you didn't know it, I can be so like Peter. And I'm so glad that Peter is in the Bible. When I read some of the stories about Peter, I think, phew, at least there's someone who doesn't get it right all the time. Someone like me. Peter reminds me that we're all human. We all get things wrong. We all make mistakes. Well, thankfully, this morning we can celebrate because just like Peter, we are not saved by our gifts and accomplishments. We are saved by God's grace. Hallelujah. In this week's gospel reading from Mark, Jesus predicts his death for the first time. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chiefs, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. While standing where we are in 2024, it's easy to miss the impact these words would have had on the disciples. Jesus was their great hope. They had given up everything to follow him. They hoped that he would lead them in a military revolution, and under his leadership, they would overthrow the Romans. The disciples know that Jesus is extraordinary. They've seen him feed the hungry, heal the sick, clear the temple, and raise the dead. They have seen the way the crowds followed him. They have heard him talk about a wonderful new kingdom, the kingdom of God that will last forever. As far as the disciples go, Jesus is it. He is the one. So it is ridiculous to even contemplate him dying and dying like a criminal. Cue Peter, who, as Mark tells us, took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine taking Jesus to one side and telling him off? Something must have really got to Peter. Jesus was supposed to be the good news. How could he speak such openly bad news? All his followers had expectations, and Jesus dying was not one of them. With that, Jesus turns on Peter and puts him in his place. "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus turns to the crowd and says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." I don't think there is any doubting that Jesus means business. But what he says is so, so hard. I don't know about you, but I feel for Peter. He only said what he did because he cared, because he loved so much. He had lived his entire life under Roman occupation. He had seen torture and death, and he was longing for God's kingdom. Is that wrong? Hadn't God's people suffered enough? Wasn't it time for a change? Wasn't it time to see justice and mercy break through? I expect some of us might feel the same. We long to see the kingdom of God break through. Well, I hope you do. I know I do. I long to see us really yearn for the things of God. I long for us to be like the hidden yeast in a batch of dough, bringing life and flavour to our communities. I long for us to be like the merchant seeking for the pearl of great price, who knows that nothing less will do than find that treasure, the treasure that we have in God, the treasure we have in this life with God, and the treasure that is stored up for us in heaven. I long for us to desire nothing more than to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I long for us to be people who try to put Jesus first in all we do. And sometimes I think we haven't got a clue. And I haven't got a clue. I wonder if you can guess which topic I've had more conversations about than any other in my time as rector of the X Valley Mission Community. I'll tell you, it's the timings of the services on Sunday because of lunch. Lunch. I sometimes wonder whether, when we stand before Almighty God, the creator of the world, the beginning and the end, the guardian of my soul, the question of the timing of lunch on Sunday will even cross my mind. Okay, I'll decide to give something up for Lent. I know, I'll give up cake, but I don't really like cake anyway, so that's okay. I'll pray a bit more. I'll read my Bible a bit more, and I'll tell myself I've kept a holy Lent. Not so. Well, they're not bad things to do. In fact, they're good. But giving up a bit of cake or praying a bit more for a few weeks is not what Jesus is saying. It's not what Jesus means when he invites us to lose our lives for the sake of the gospel. There aren't any shortcuts around denying myself, taking up my cross and following. So how do we do it? How do we deny ourselves? How do we save our lives by losing them? How do we take up our cross to follow? Jesus repeatedly taught his disciples that there was only one thing that he could do, and that was to walk the way of the cross. Jesus bore the excruciating pain and shame of the cross. He was mocked, forsaken, and jeered at. Crucifixion was, as Cicero described it, the most cruel and horrible torture. Yet this was the way that Jesus had to go, and he chose to go that way. Jesus Christ would never have been Christ the Messiah without the cross. The church would never be the church without the cross. And the cross has always caused offence and has even been a stumbling block to many, as Paul writes in the Romans. Most of us will never be faced with a gruesome death like crucifixion or martyrdom. Although I suspect in the next decade or so, Christians will find themselves increasingly marginalised and alone. But I read this week that to walk the way of the cross, to be crucified with Christ, means three things. Firstly, the person being crucified can only face in one direction. There's no turning around or looking back. Secondly, the person walking the way of the cross knows exactly what their final destination is. and there's no going back. The person walking the way of the cross has no plans of their own. Their future is entirely in God's hands. We have to accept the very thing that we don't like to talk about, and which in our contemporary culture we try to ignore. We will die one day, regardless of how much money or possessions we have, how many supplements we take, or how many treatments or facials or makeovers we have. I will die one day. But in walking the way of the cross, we can trust Jesus' assurance and example that we will rise again. Death is not the end. As Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For the sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. As we walk the way of the cross as disciples of Jesus Christ, he is asking us to stand with him, to love those who are suffering, to comfort those who mourn, to be committed to seeking peace, justice, and mercy in the places where we live and work, and to strive to see the kingdom of God break through, especially in our own communities. Amen.
So we pray for the church and for the world, and we thank God for his goodness. We pray for followers of Jesus Christ, for those who are imprisoned for their faith, for those who serve as missionaries, for teachers of the faith. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
We pray for those who deny themselves to serve others, for those who work in hospitals and prisons, for those who are carers, for those who serve their communities as volunteers. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
We pray for those who carry the weight of the cross, for the homeless and unemployed, for those who are ill or bereaved, for those who struggle with mental health. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
We pray for ourselves as we follow Christ, for strength to overcome our struggles and failures, for our fears and worries, for those we love and those who love us. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Let us commend the world for which Christ suffered to the mercy and protection of God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you show to those who are in error the light of your truth, that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant to all those who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion that they may reject those things that are contrary to their profession and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ, give us grace to grow in holiness, to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and all those we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Thank you, David. Thank you, Anne. Thank you for joining me this morning. Thank you, everybody. It's lovely to have your company. And there is no Lent Compline this Wednesday because I'm away, but there will be one the following week. And Claire will be, no, Dawn is leading the service next week, I believe. I've written the sermon, so she's already got it.
I hope it's the right one.
I hope it's the right one. I have got rather muddled this week because I've been doing multiple sermons, but it is written, so there should be a sermon. Okay, have a lovely day. Let's hope the rain stops soon.